We're back, and we're going to talk about the fact that the Trump administration has now been sued by CNN and Jim Acosta for retrieving his hard pass in order to get on White House grounds. And he says that that is an infringement of his First and Fifth Amendment rights, right of free speech and right of due process. And joining us on the line to talk about this is Steve Portnoy, CBS News correspondent. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Steve, yeah, I think you're intimately familiar with the whole process at the White House, and our listeners aren't at all, and myself included. Are the passes given to individual reporters or to news organizations?
The passes are given to individual reporters by function of their assignment to the White House by news organizations. I'll give you an example. In my case, I've been with CBS News since the early part of 2015. Before that, I was with another network. That's where I got my hard pass. But when I moved from that network to this one, the hard pass followed me. I didn't have to reapply. The reason for that is because essentially what this pass, which I wear around my neck, is, and it's got my picture on it and the American flag, and it says my news organization, it says press, is the fact that it belongs to the Secret Service, and it is a way for the Secret Service to know that I have been cleared by their background check, a background check process that takes a couple of months once the White House press office signs off on the issuance of a permanent pass. And the real function of it is to speed the process. Everybody who comes into the White House goes through the regular security, the metal detector, and you have to scan your pass and enter a PIN code so that they know it's you. Your picture shows up on the monitor. It's pretty tight security. But the point is, for those of us with hard passes, we can go through faster. People who don't have a hard pass, and any reporter, you know, your WWL reporter can come up to Washington if he wants, or she, and spend the day here. That's the openness of this place. And there are bloggers and people you've never heard of from outlets you've never heard of that come in here all the time. All you have to do is apply. And the White House, I've never heard of the White House actually rejecting an application for a day pass. The difference is, with the day pass, you have to show your driver's license, and it's a longer process. Oftentimes, Pennsylvania Avenue in front of the White House where we enter is shut down for security reasons or security scare. And in those circumstances, only those with the permanent hard passes are waved through because we've all undergone the background check. And if you're here on a day pass, well, the Secret Service doesn't have the same degree of confidence about you as they might have about someone they've spent time looking into.
You know, having conducted a number of press conferences in my previous life as a public official, I never got to the point, we would agree to disagree, and we might, you know, say a few things that we would, wish we could take back. In this particular case, it seems as though it's almost who's going to be more rude, the president or Jim Acosta?
Yeah. It's a difficult thing for a journalist to look at this and make an assessment in a way that doesn't step on the interests of a competitor or what. But I'll just tell you, look, we believe in the press corps generally, not specifically to any one person, but generally, that reporters are here to ask questions of the president and other government officials because we are the stand-ins, if you will, for the American people. I mean, we have the privilege and responsibility of asking questions that the American people individually can't. The president speaks over television and radio, and he obviously tweets, but that's a one-way exchange. The only way that there's an opportunity for the American people to have their questions answered by the president is for them to be posed by reporters. Sometimes we have seen over the history, and not just recent history, but the long arc of history, some reporters are more aggressive than others. In this particular case, there are a couple of reporters who have a reputation for being more aggressive than right. others. And what we have seen in the last week is that in one case, an aggressive reporter has been the focus of the story. But I can tell you, just look at the way Sam Donaldson, the legendary ABC yeah. correspondent who was a reporter in this town for 50 years, has seen probably more of these exchanges than anyone, actually issued signed a declaration in this lawsuit that CNN filed, in which he says that, he's seen a thing or two in his day. He's never seen a White House take this action before. And he, as I mentioned, was a reporter in Washington from the early days of the Kennedy administration.
A number of our listeners have asked this question. Is there any obligation on the president to call upon any particular reporter?
Of course not.
So he could just ignore anyone he wanted in the room.
Oh, sure. But remember, he called on Jim Acosta.
No. That's why I asked the question. And I think that's why my listeners are asking the question as well. He actually called on him.
He called on him. He called him at the very, well, practically the very start of the news conference. And listen, I don't think there's anyone who looks at this who doesn't know that the White House enjoys having a foil in CNN as a network and Jim Acosta individually as a reporter. And the idea, that's why it was so surprising, the idea that their decision last week was to essentially forever prohibit such exchanges in the future. At least that's what they seem to suggest. Why would they want to do that? Because they seem to, well, they have these exchanges. Obviously, the president says he doesn't like it. But remember, he called on Jim Acosta knowing what we all know about the exchanges they've had in the past.
Yeah. I often wonder the utilization of the social networks now, where one can put their message out, have every bit as many followers as any news organization out there, whether or not that's really created a new type of competition.
Well, in look, you could go back to the very first example of a president reaching out via electronic media was Franklin Roosevelt with his fireside chats.
Correct.
That was a direct communication between the president of the United States and the American people without the so-called filter. In this case, you could look at Twitter as nothing more than an evolution of that. I will say to his credit, Donald Trump very much enjoys mixing it up with reporters. Don't let anyone suggest, including him,
it's a sport.
That he doesn't enjoy it.
It's a sport. There's no doubt about that. Well, Steve, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your insight and clearing up some of those questions for us.
You bet.
All righty. Steve Portnoy, CBS News correspondent, has been covering the White House as well for a number of years. We appreciate your time. We'll be right back. We want to hear from you. 260-1870 or text us at 870-870. What are your thoughts? Who do you think is to blame in this process? We'll be right back after the break. This is Newell on WWL. CNN filed its complaint on Tuesday, arguing that revoking Acosta's press pass violated the First Amendment right of freedom of the press and CNN Acosta's Fifth Amendment right of due process, which means that he feels that he has a property right to that pass, and I'm not sure about that. If left unchallenged, the actions of the White House would create a dangerous chilling effect for any journalist who covers our elected officials, CNN said in a statement about the complaint. Any number of news organizations have joined in that suit, filing amicus briefs as well. And, you know, I think the basic question really is this a right or a privilege? And whether or not, I think there's a legitimate answer to be had as to whether or not the president has a freedom of association claim. What if he just doesn't want to talk to Jim Acosta? You know, and why can't it be that it would be more productive if he had a different reporter there in that respect? You also have any number of reporters that are standing up and yelling questions and everything else before being recognized. And it would seem to me if everybody acted as professionals, this wouldn't be like some flea market operation in a third world country. You know, and it's just kind of ridiculous when you watch this situation unfold. A question is a question, and trying to solicit facts or soliciting facts, rendering opinion is an opinion piece. It's not what reporters do. You know, and the first question that was asked by Jim Acosta in this particular case was answered. The president actually answered it. He wanted to know why he called the caravan an invasion, and that he doesn't think that that was an appropriate use of that word. And the president said, you and I can agree to disagree. I think it's an appropriate use of the word, and you don't. What other answer can there be to the question? You may not like my choice of words, but that's your problem. It's not mine. If I were the president, I would have said the same thing to him. And whether or not that's combative or not, I'm not sure. But obviously, there's been a huge difference in opinion as to what the challenges are with the caravan, what the threat may be with the caravan. the characterization of the caravan, so forth and so on. And really, because it helped the president politically, there are many on the left that wanted to make sure that they could try to squelch that issue. I don't particularly think that's the role of the media. Now, we can agree to disagree on whether or not it's an invasion or not. I read the definition of invasion on this show several times. Several callers called in and disagreed with my appreciation of the definition. It is a choice of words, and actually what was going on there, in my view, matched the definition, an unwelcome intrusion into another's domain. All you got to do is watch the video. There are other definitions of this dealing in the military context, an instance of invading a country or region with an armed force. Now, or there's yet another definition, an incursion by a large number of people or things into a place or sphere of activity. As it relates to the caravan, in my humble opinion, we get two out of three. I don't understand, you know, why we're going to challenge as it relates to the use of the word invasion when arguably any number of those would apply. And then when you go to the synonyms of the word, influx, inundation, to flood, violation, infringement, interruption, intrusion, encroachment, disturbance, a breach. If people are crossing into this country illegally, is someone going to tell me that these words don't apply there? Or was it just showcasing as it relates to that issue? I don't know what Jim Acosta's intent was, and I can't get into his head. But it would seem to me that there are a lot more meaningful and appropriate questions to be asked of the president than to argue over the use of the word invasion. What do you think? 260-1870 or text us at 870-870. Let's go to line one, Jay in Slidell. What say you, Jay?
Hey, Neil. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm trying to remember. I'm not around my computer right now, so I can't give you the exact quote, but Thomas Jefferson had some really flattering things to say about the press, if you know what I mean.
Right.
I think it was something to the effect, if you don't really want the truth, read the newspaper, something to that effect. I mean, that's not the exact quote, but and the press has become so politicized, and I just feel like, you know, there's no way for us to really know, what's going on, because you got the extremes screaming from the far left and the far right, and the voices in the middle get drowned out, and there's almost no place that I can go. And I say this not out of hubris, other than WWL, that I feel like I can get, you know, a balanced perspective on it. I mean, some of you lean a little left, some of you lean a little right, but nobody's like on the extreme, you know, trying to influence opinion with dogma and propaganda.
Right. And look, there's a bilateral obligation. I get it. And I understand the importance of the media, as was appropriately pointed out by Steve Portnoy. I completely and totally get it. But there's a difference between an opinion writer and a news report. And, you know, when your opening statement is, I want to challenge you on the on the use of the word invasion, you know, when you just start with the definition, you're less than honest if you don't look at the multiple meanings of the word. Most words associate in more than one way, right? And he starts with one that has the militaristic connotation, and to the complete exclusion of the others. So we're going to sit here and argue over the English language in a press briefing? That's what I find just to be completely mystifying to me, other than if there's, you know, some political slant that you want to make on that particular issue. And what your personal feelings are for, you know, the immigrants that are coming this way. And that's where I can't square this up and why we end up spending as much time as we did on it. Let's go to line two, Jeff in Mid-City. What say you, Jeff?
Hey, Norm, how you doing?
Doing
great. You don't mind my calling you Norm?
Not at all. That's what I was called in high school.
I don't understand the last caller. I don't know what newspapers he's reading, but The Advocate and The Times-Picayune are very accurate with news reporting unless he thinks the editorial section is a news section.
I thought he said talk radio, but I may be mistaken on that.
No, he said newspapers. You can't believe anything you read in the newspapers. And it's like, I don't know what newspaper he's reading. And I agree with you because, first of all, our president, he's a politician. So he's going to talk like a politician. There have been politicians in the past like Andrew Johnson and Calvin Coolidge and Huey Long who talk nasty. And we just know more about it because of social media, which I think is a horrible, horrible thing. But it's our life today. It's like, it's nothing new. Read the newspaper and use your brains, people. That's what I got to say.
Yeah, I wonder sometimes whether or not, and that's why I asked Steve the question as to the use of the social networks and what the implications are there, where the reach of the president over that medium can be every bit as great as the reach of any news station. I don't know. We'll be right back after the break. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll come back to the talk lines when we return. This is Newell on WWL. We're back, and on the Blue Runner opinion poll, CNN, Fox, and other news organizations are suing the Trump administration for revoking Jim Acosta's press pass. Do you agree with the suit? 75% of the respondents say no. On the text line, it says the word invasion creates a fear that is presumptuous of anybody to say. When you have a president that says negative things that are race-based all the time, has racist people who openly support this president, it is called for to question his use of the word invasion when referring to people who he had talked about in this manner. Why can't you so-called square that? Well, I'll tell you why I can't square that. Did you see the video when they hit the Mexican border? And they fenced off and put Jersey barriers as well as other barricades and things of that nature. They engaged in a fistic encounter, a confrontation with the Mexican authorities, all the while knowing that the Mexican authorities were not going to shoot them or anything else. And then, when they were not successful at first in knocking the barricades and the fencing down to cross the bridge, they crossed the river in violation of Mexican citizens' rights. Do you have blinders on? If that's not an invasion, I don't know what is. If that's not a situation of an unwelcome intrusion into another's domain, I don't know what it is. When somebody locks their gates and puts up barricades and has armed military people at the border, is that a sign of being welcoming? And you would question the use of the word invasion? Like Jim Acosta? How else could you characterize that? Would you feel welcome? They started throwing rocks and objects and bottles and all kinds of other stuff. Tear gas was deployed. Rubber bullets were shot and things of that nature. How would you characterize that? And would it not be safe to say that maybe, just maybe, that conduct might have a tendency to repeat itself? When they hit the next barrier, the U.S. border? How far-fetched is that position? You don't have to look back too far in recent history to see. How about 2 weeks? So I don't know what folks are thinking about. I mean, what the purpose of them coming for is of no moment. It's their conduct in what they do in order to get to this border. And they're supposed to get a pass? We saw y'all throwing rocks and this and that and knocking down the fence and challenging the Mexican authority. We need to forget about all of that. It doesn't matter because you're coming here for asylum, but when they're conducting interviews, none of them are articulating anything factually that would even qualify for an asylum claim. They want a job. They're coming here for the economy. I get it. I understand it. But we're going to get mired down in the use of the word invasion. I don't know what else you would call that. It's not a caravan. Caravans don't throw rocks and bottles at military and police authorities and knock down fences and knock down barricades and then take individual actions to circumvent what those authorities are trying to do to protect their citizenry, their property, and the rights and privileges of the citizens of Mexico. I dare you find any word in the definition of caravan that matches up to that conduct. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll be right back. This is Newell on WWL. On the Blue Runner opinion poll, CNN, Fox News, and other news organizations are suing the Trump administration for revoking Jim Acosta's press pass. Do you agree with the suit? 68% of the respondents say no. Let's go to Janelle on line one. What say you, Janelle?
Hey, Newell.
Hey, how are you?
I'm going to deviate a little bit from what I told the guy only because I listened to what you said and it made so much sense. I can remember a presidential election where one candidate stepped halfway across the stage and the news was abuzz the next day with invading the other person's personal space.
Right.
We have invasions of our privacy. You look at this man that they voted for president, and they voted him because he wasn't a politician, and look at who his idol is, Winston Churchill, who was not a true politician. He didn't speak like a politician. He didn't act like a politician. And I understand that one night he was pretty drunk, and the queen told him he was drunk, and he looked her in the face, and he said, "Madam, I may be drunk, but tomorrow morning I will wake up and I will be sober. You will still be ugly." So we needed him. You know, I just think the press is a buzz because they're a buzz. You have to fill a 24-hour news thing, and this is what they do. And also, I think there has to be – you don't think there should be some kind of order to their meetings and to when the president's speaking and so on and so off? I mean, I can't tell you how many times I watched other presidents not even take questions.
Yeah, you know, civility is a two-way street, and that's what the thing that I'm the most disappointed in is that, look, we can agree to disagree, and maybe some of the ways that Trump articulates it, and not maybe, definitely some of the ways he articulates things are inflammatory. I think the obligation on the media, and it's bilateral, it goes both ways, and I think the obligation on the media side is that they have to rise above that. They're looking to get facts. They shouldn't be there to render an opinion.
And they shouldn't be there to just push and push and push till they get their questions answered without a turn or just 50 questions that reveal one topic. But I'm going to tell you something real quick, if you let me.
Yes.
We went to Washington 10 years ago, okay? And everything was different. We went to Washington recently, and we sat in a restaurant, a prominent Washington restaurant where a lot of senators and politicians go. And the waiters took the time to tell us that it's completely different now. There was a time when they debated, not fought. They debated, and then they went out and had a steak together.
Yeah. And that's true. I used to hear that all the time. Thank you for calling in, Janelle. We really appreciate it. Let's go to John on line six out on Jefferson Highway. What say you, John?
Good morning. Yeah, I have a comment, and maybe it's a scenario to never play out, and I pray that it don't. But I'm looking like they're going to have, I'll call them radical people, or, you know, that will end up going to the border if we can't stop with our law enforcement or whatever military. They're going to end up people going out to the border out there with guns. And you're the law enforcement. You know how people think. And you know eventually they'll come to that. And Americans going to try to stop them themselves. And when they do, they're going to have to go up against our Texas State Police or whoever state police or the local authorities to try to protect the immigrants. And then and everybody's going to be shooting each other. It's got to stop somewhere.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, and that's why I just don't understand what people's problem, you know, about this use of this word. I mean, if you just look at the conduct at the Mexican border, there was no regard for any order or structure or respect for the laws of the country of Mexico. They didn't care. They think they have a right to asylum in the U.S., and they just step all over everybody else's rights because it's good for them. Well, that's not how it works. And the sooner that we come to that realization, the better off we'll be. John, thanks so much for calling in. Got to get to a break. We'll come back to the talk lines when we return. This is Newell on WWE. We're back, and we're talking about this situation with CNN, Jim Acosta. It's going to be before the court this afternoon, I believe, and there might be a court ruling. Let's go to line one, Bobby in Raceland. What say you, Bobby?
Hey, how you doing, Newell? How you doing today?
Doing great. What's going on?
Hey, last night I heard just a blatant lie by CBS reporter in Tijuana, and it goes back to what the president told Acosta. The reporter last night told an immigrant, what do you think about President Trump saying you can't come into the United States of America? He did not say that, Newell. He said there's a process to follow. We need those people for workers, but there is a process to come into the United States. He never said they cannot come in. No, they can't break in. They can't come here illegally.
Right.
He did not say that. So he was inciting because he's going to go.
It's the classic example of creating a false narrative. I mean, because that's not what the issue is.
No, sir. It is not.
You're right. And it's the same thing as the point that I made, Bobby, and I don't know if you agree or disagree, about this use of the word invasion. That's what they did on the Mexican border. There's no other way to characterize it. They were not welcome.
I totally agree with you.
They had overt signs to let them know that they were not welcome, like fences, barricades, jersey barriers, armed police forces. What more does it take?
I tell you what.
And, you know, and then there's those folks.
Where was our ally, Mexico? Why didn't Mexico take it on when it hit their southern borders? They didn't.
Well,
they don't care about us.
They didn't. They weren't gonna use up all their political capital on that particular issue. And you know, there's a part of me, I get it, but the fact still remains. We don't have to look into too far distant past to see what they're capable of doing. And then I have people that say, "Well, you're being very short-sighted because that was just a small number of people that were doing that." You're right. I give that to you. But all of the others took advantage of their unlawful behavior. And in this country, if you engage in that, what happens to you, Bobby?
I know, sir.
You go to jail.
You'd have to pump sunshine to me, Newell.
Yeah, you steal a piece of property and you give it to me and I'm in possession of it. Guess what? I go to jail, too. If I take advantage of your illegal behavior, I go to jail as well. We seem to forget that we're creating this double standard of which we're willing to give folks that are not even citizens the benefit of the doubt for some of their criminal activity, that we don't give our own citizens. We're harder on ourselves than we are on them. And I think everybody just wants there to be parity, if nothing else, but we can't even get to that point sometimes.
That's right, Newell. And it's so aggravating to me. And you know, the president's right. There are media that's out there that's really inciting this. To split in America, he's absolutely correct.
Right.
Why we can't come together as a nation, because we won't let it be. We have other things to take care of, Newell. Our citizens, our veterans.
I just had a story about that. I mean, you know, when we want to talk about priorities, let's talk about priorities, you know. But this is something that Congress should deal with. They should deal with it now. They should get it over with. And whatever the laws are, everybody ought to be encouraging enforcement of that law. I've never seen elected leaders create an environment where they are actually advocating for bypassing the law.
Yes.
It's mind-boggling to me. What's the message that you're sending to the law enforcers out there that are risking their lives every day when the elected leadership of this country is advocating bypassing those laws?
Yeah, you know, I feel so sorry for police officers, Newell, because I fully back them. I mean, they're getting to the point in why we're shorthanded, because they have nobody to back them. The first thing is, if they shoot someone,
a criminal. They're the criminal.
No, absolutely. All righty, Bobby, I got to get to a break. I apologize. Thanks so much for calling in. Have a great weekend. We're going to continue this conversation, and we've got a couple of other issues that we're going to throw out there that we want to talk about when we come back as well. And I want to get your feelings as to any number of things that are going on current, up front, and center right here dealing with in this country today. We'll be right back after the break. This is Newell on WWL.